Hello and welcome to the Edge of the Box Football Podcast, the show where we aim to challenge football convention with thought-provoking and outside-of-the-box points of view. Today we're talking about Erling Haaland, who's officially coming to the Prem. But will he be a perfect fit at Manchester City? And can he be the man to finally break Pep Guardiola's over a decade-long Champions League hoodoo? And speaking of, what the hell's up with that? More on that later. We're also debating who the best fullback is between Trent Alexander-Arnold, Yao Cancelo and Reece James. I'm your host, Harry Brent. So yeah, as we speak, it's not exactly, it's not been a secret. It's not come out of the blue. But at the time of recording, we've just heard the news that Erling Haaland is going to Man City. It's going to happen. Man City fan in the house. Thoughts? Initial thoughts?
I mean, you all laughed at me when I initially when I initially said that it'll be, I'd like him at City, and when I was raving about him, Harry, you had your severe doubts. But
and those doubts are still there since he hasn't played yet.
I don't know. I think
he bags a hat trick against Chelsea. Every
obviously it's a good thing because it's a striker which City have wanted. For some time now. I think he fits the profile of what City kind of after, and he's young enough to, you know, be moulded and adapted towards Pep's style. And
yeah, I feel like he's good because he's obviously very looking at the goals he scores. I feel like he's got two sorts of goals. He's like, you know, poaching in the 6 yard area,
yeah,
or he's like running at people and, you know, smashing it in a way.
Plus, he's got an aerial threat as well, which we don't necessarily have.
I feel like because of the way you play, and you're very sort of like swarm the box and create space rather than counter and run, he's probably just going to become like a super poacher, isn't he? Not to diminish what he does, but just his goals are going to be inside the box mainly, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I feel like he'll definitely be complimented by a lot of the players surrounding him by going down a different kind of avenue for what he can, you know, provide for City. Because normally, like I say, we just find the space, pass it round and just, you know, play it low most of the time. Or, you know, well, apart from a couple of set pieces recently where Laporte, Rodri and Diaz has, you know, got on the score sheet because they offer a bit more height and physicality. The only thing that slightly worries me is the way in which Jack Grealish has made his kind of debut season for Manchester City.
Which is underwhelmingly, you mean?
Yeah, but obviously he's been so used to playing his kind of style, which he's obviously had kind of free roam for whilst at Villa, and it's what, you know, got him to where he is. And then I feel like at City, we're kind of putting kind of barriers on what he can and can't do, or putting like the brakes on certain things, and he has to play this kind of way and be a bit more strict with himself and obviously play towards the system, which is obviously going to be good for him because it'll make him a better player in general. I feel like it's stifled a lot of the, you know, the energy that, you know, Jack Grealish was associated with.
Do you think by having to sort of, not limit is the wrong word, but having to kind of work into Man City's way and change what he does, do you think that's going to benefit him in the long run in the same way that, like, Raheem Sterling's game really came on under Guardiola? And not quite the same way, but I remember Aguero had a difficult start when Guardiola came in. I know Aguero was obviously really good before that, but it just took him about a year to kind of I know what my role is now. Perhaps we'll see that in next season for Grealish.
That's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, I mean, it's an exciting player that I think City won. I think City have wanted. I think the fact that it's happening now is a little annoying, but at the same time, it's kind of bittersweet, I feel, because Pep's done the last two seasons without like a consistent striker to rely on. Whilst obviously Jesus has come into form as of late, I feel like he's gone through different avenues, and I feel like Pep's kind of given in to the fact that he does need.
But he tried to get he pushed so hard for Kane last summer. I don't think this is something he's just realised now. He wanted it last summer, and even when they didn't get Kane and they tried all summer, than they try to get Ronaldo last minute. Just briefly going back to Haaland, obviously I have been a sort of, I wouldn't say a critic of him, but what do you call it? A skeptic.
And the jury's still out.
It's not, is it really? But like, I've no doubt that he will score goals, and in that Man City team, he's not a bad season will be 15, 20 goals. But it'd be very interesting, I think, now once we English fans get to see him week in, week out, because I think there's a lot of games where he does bugger all. And that's just because, you know, Dortmund don't have the ball and he's not, you know, he's not going to drop in. He's not going to Harry Kane it, drop in and set a load of stuff up. But I'm very interested to see, like, how the sort of perception of the player he is changes, because all we really see is him in the Champions League and the highlights on, you know, unless you're a Bundesliga fan, you're not watching Haaland over 90 minutes very regularly. But the odd occasion I have, he's quiet. But then there's lots of strikers you could say that about. So look, I don't want to be too critical of him. He's obviously going to be a massive asset for City, and, you know, he will score.
I think it's going to be a lot of pressure on him to hit the ground running.
Yeah. Same with Lukaku.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of bends into what Roe was saying about perhaps he might just need. You could sort of imagine Guardiola going like, right, after a couple of weeks, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, dropping you for, like he did with Aguero. He just stopped playing Aguero for a bit. Mm. It's going to be fun. At least we've not had like one of the big exciting players in the Prem for. Since Ronaldo left the first time around, I guess. So,
do you think that this is a subtle nod for Pep to stay for longer?
It's not in your contract, though, so I guess.
Yeah, I don't.
It was only a couple of year contract. I'm sure.
Is it till 2026? That's.
I don't think so. I think it was 2024.
I don't know where he'd go from you at the minute, to be honest with you. I don't think there's anywhere better suited to him right now.
Let's just check.
And it just feels like the place to be is the English teams are now suddenly the big teams, and Man City and Liverpool. He's already built such a, you know, strong thing there. I previously thought there's a chance. To be honest, it'd be interesting if you'd have won the Champions League or something this season. But look, I think regardless of whether Guardiola's staying or leaving, Haaland was going to be the target.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So with this signing, does that, would you reckon that he'll obviously extend a couple more years? I know Klopp's obviously just signed as well.
He's going to look at that and think, get me away from this jerk.
Yeah, he's probably, I'm sick of him. I've been around him for 10 years, I'm sick of him.
Constantly, yeah. If there was any other manager managing that team, they'd be nowhere near us. We'd win the league 100 points every single season. Him.
I think it depends on whether you win the Champions League next season. I think that is the thing that Pep wants, regardless of what anyone says. I think that is the unfinished business. I mean, he's not won it since, 2011?
Yeah.
7 years since he was a Barca, so...
That is mad when you think about it.
Yeah, and he's only won it twice. I thought he'd won it more than that.
And he's only won it with one club.
One club, yeah.
Which... yeah, I mean, this is the big... Certainly not someone who will say that, you know, we'll come onto this in a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily need to win it, because only one team can win the Champions League every year. But it's a big, it's a sort of growingly noticeable blot on his record.
Yeah.
And especially as you think about it, it's been 11 years now since. And look, there's not many managers who win it more than twice. So it's not like not fair.
There's not many managers who win it.
Not many matches who win it. Fergie, anyone, it's twice. Thinking
of how dominant his Barca team was. It's obviously an amazing feat, and you're right, not a lot of people. But for some reason, I thought, he's won it like three or four times.
Do you guys? I mean, do you have any theory as to why? Because Liverpool and City are obviously the two sort of generation-defining teams, and they're so strong, both of them. Why is it that City always seem to always edge them in the league, and yet Liverpool better record in Europe? Why is that?
It's the curse that Yaya Toure put on after
Not getting rid of him.
So you got rid of him in Barcelona.
Simple as that. I think it's one of them, you know, the old saying, the cliche of Guardiola overthinks big games. I don't necessarily think it is that, but I don't know. I think it's one of them where teams' mindset is, you know, you're playing City in the Champions League, they slip up quite a bit. You know, we could snatch this, we could have this, because if something happens, they're going to completely fall apart, because, you know, it's happening again. And in their minds, they're going to drop.
The psychology thing must be a huge thing, not just for Guardiola, but for City as a club. I think, you know, like someone compared it to the way that PSG have similar kind of capitulations, because I think them as a club just have that same sort of, I wouldn't call it imposter syndrome necessarily, but there's when you're just sort of not used to.
They're trying to jump ahead rather than build infrastructure and have the kind of longevity there. And they're trying to jump that step and just go straight to the end and like, no, this is us. We're here. We're part of the big guys.
Whereas you compare it to someone like Real Madrid who have had so much success in that competition recently, despite the fact that they've never really been like the standout. These guys are the best club in Europe. Obviously, against City, they were second best for about 95% of that tie.
Second best in all the knockout stage games.
I thought this was weird as well. Yeah, they've been consistently second best and getting through. But again, maybe that plays into the fact that's just who it's. It sounds kind of vague, but there must be some sort of substance to it. They're just, you know, they believe that this is a competition that we can find a way to win in, and there just must be something in that, you know, at least on a sort of small part.
But there is a counter mentality.
Yeah, but this is not my theory, but there's a theory that I thought was interesting, which is that. And I'm interested to know what, Ro, as a City fan, you think of this. Guardiola is very, very good. He knows exactly how to build a league-winning team where basically you just sort of, you suffocate all the teams that are worse than you. You know, consistently grinding out win after win after win. But that doesn't always translate to when you're playing really, really top teams. And perhaps that's why when it comes down, you know, to the big games in Europe, perhaps it's Guardiola overthinking. There's definitely been examples of that. Like, he didn't play a defensive midfielder in the Champions League final against Chelsea. He played mad systems for Bayern when he was against Barcelona. He's done some crazy things. But at the same time, might it just be that actually, when it comes down to it, his setup doesn't work against the very, very best. You know, perhaps we sort of overestimate how, you know, Guardiola's sort of system, how good it is and how sort of effective it can be when, you know, because Klopp, he's notoriously had quite a, not a terrible record against Klopp, but I think Klopp's got a better record, certainly since, it's narrowly better. But you'd expect if Guardiola's system was good enough, he could, you know, it would work against everybody. I don't know how you feel.
I think it's one of them, isn't it? Well, you can build a tactic and, you know, you'd be fantastic for 90% of the season. But it averages out, and if you're fantastic 90% of the season, you're going to win the league regardless. Because it's one of the things, they're all additive. Every result is additive. Whereas if you're in a knockout stage of a competition and you're playing like that, and say that you have one of your 10% theirs or your 5% theirs where you're not quite on it, you get punished.
I think there's greater margin for
average out in the Champions League.
There's greater margin for errors, I think, in one-off cup games or aggregate games over two legs. I think, as probably counterintuitive as it sounds, you can build up a pattern and habit and system consistently in the league that works because you're playing lesser teams. I think you have a lot more worse teams in a league than you would, obviously, at the latter stages of a competition like the Champions League.
Yeah. So
they're used to that control and just dictating games and dominating lesser teams. When it comes to a Champions League where you might win in one leg, but then it's the second leg against a team that has pedigree like Real Madrid, I think there's a greater chance for things to go wrong. And I don't know if Pep's used to that or is great at adapting a style of play that is outside of what he's used to.
But where would this Real Madrid team fit in the Premier League, though? Like, if they can't the Premier League, where would they finish?
I think
Chelsea are better than them, but yeah, so not on current form. So I think they'd finish third this season. But mm-hmm. I think if I'd fancy us to finish above them next season.
I'd fancy them to be battling for fourth with Tottenham and Arsenal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that we'd finish above them. I'd say they'd be there, right? And you're telling me if it was the league game, City wouldn't still play their game and absolutely trounce the person playing in fourth, because they would.
I guess the league's different to a cup.
Yeah, 100% mentally. And that's what I mean as well. I saying before, like, I think it's all psychological.
If it is a mentality thing that seemed to unanimously think it is, do you think it's a case of the players are seeing Pep maybe overthinking things, doing stuff tactically that they maybe wouldn't do, and they're like, ooh, Pep, what's going on? Or do you think Pep's maybe seeing them being a bit, do you think it's just equal?
It's difficult to judge with this current season, because as I said to you guys, I mean, I'm convinced that Real Madrid thing was just a freak. They did everything right. They literally did everything right. I mean, they got a bit sloppy in the first leg, but they could have won that 6-0. And they controlled the second leg in the Bernabeu and got their goal and blah, 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 and then, you know, conceded two late goals. So but prior to that, I think what you say is probably valid, Dave. But just briefly, also on, Ash, you were saying that if Real Madrid, let's say, were in the Premier League, and you have a point with you know, they might struggle in the Champions League, but then you think, oh, if they play them in the league, they'd probably like batter them 4-0 or something, which could be the case. But funny enough, I was looking at some stats earlier today. I think this is right. The only two managers who have won the Prem other than Guardiola since Guardiola's been in England is Klopp and Conte. And Guardiola has a negative record against both of them domestically, like overall games. So, but he's got a negative record. I mean, it's not like it gets beaten all the time. It's close. But the point is, in that whole, you take that whole time frame, granted, Conte's only two and a bit years, but Klopp certainly, but both of them, you know, Man City have been the team on top for the vast majority of that. And yet his record is not just not a lot better, yeah, but it's actually worse. So maybe
I think you have to take Conte out of that. I do.
Well, I only put him in because otherwise it's just Pep versus Klopp. But
I think it should just be Pep versus Klopp.
But my point was that perhaps he wouldn't batter Real Madrid if they were in the Prem, because maybe, you know, again, it just comes back to what I said before about when he's up against these really good teams, when these really good teams are playing really well against Man City, they can get at them more so than, you know, if I don't know, Klopp's Liverpool were playing the same team. And Ro, Champions League, winning the Champions League in the next 5 years?
Honestly, I'd love to say yeah, but this season, out of all the seasons that City have been in the Champions League and in the running, I genuinely felt that this season they had such aggression in the competition, such dominance, and I generally thought that out of all the seasons under Pep, they seem more hungry for it this season, and obviously not hungry enough. There's experience now for them players that have been through that. So when everything kind of goes out of the window, including kitchen sink, then they should be able to, you know, adapt to it to some degree.
Do you think they might have so much faith in Pep just that they feel like they're completely, you know, not even there to make the decisions or put the effort in? It's like, things are difficult right now. It's okay because I believe in my manager. He'll sort this out, kind of thing. And they don't...
I suppose so, yeah.
They don't grasp it themselves and think, I need to sort this out. I need to do this for my team. It's, yeah, maybe I'll wait for my manager to tell me what to do to fix this.
Yeah, maybe that's, you know, Pep's doing, where he's, you know, when we're talking about Jack Grealish before, like, how somewhat limiting what he can and can't do, and stifling what, you know, he, you know, got him that signing from
Aston Villa. He's a ball carrier.
Yeah, like, you know,
he runs at people. He's fantastic with the ball at his feet. He runs at people. He has to become a passer of a ball. It's just not his game.
Well, I mean, you watch the game. He did have a goal literally cleared off the line, which
It could have come on and it just felt wet because that, you know, as soon as that second one went in, you just thought like, look, 30 minutes of this, the momentum's going one way. It was the same with PSG. They scored three goals in 10 minutes or whatever it was, 5 minutes, something mad. And you just felt, even that you can be trained for that as much as you can, you are going to be demoralised completely after that. Yeah. So it may have just been that problem. But to go to Ash's point, Guardiola, that's always been his thing, is that you don't deviate from the plan under any circumstances. I don't know how rigorously he put these sort of drills that into people, but it's always been a thing. Like, I always remember they conceded a goal, but Barcelona, Pep's Barca conceded a goal against Real Madrid where Valdez tried to dribble out from the back and just got tackled. Wow. And Real Madrid scored. And the first thing you could see Guardiola went, just sort of signaled to him, but you could just tell he was like, it's fine, do it, keep doing it. I'm not going to ask you to hoof it, do that again, don't lose faith and blah, 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 blah. Rightly or wrongly, I just thought that was kind of cool.
Do you reckon this tie was made better without the away goal?
No, I like the away goal.
I like the away goal, but it's not. I think what will be the main problem is, I think we're going to start, all the fixtures are going to get extra time because obviously there's no, that'll probably get a bit tedious.
Yeah.
But so far, it doesn't seem to have made anything worse. Like, it hasn't changed, doesn't seem to have changed the way teams attack and defend and set up.
Yeah, I think Liverpool would have come out in the second half against Villarreal with a lot less urgency.
Impetus.
If they were goal rules, I think.
Yeah.
Because they knew they would have just needed one.
Mm.
Well, they may have started quicker.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the little dynamic shifts, but my main concern...
That's what I liked about it, though. It was sort of different.
Yeah.
You know, and tactical shifts based upon the scoreline of the previous game is fantastic.
But I guess what we gain there's been a couple of matches where I can't think of them to hand, but where like previously you'd have needed an extra goal because they got an away goal, but this, you know, it just so happens that you can score one goal less, so teams might be up for it rather than just give up. So I guess it works both ways. Right, I'll move us on slightly. So, Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp have been a bit catty with each other for the first time ever. I mean, Jurgen Klopp has kind of been descending into this kind of evil overlord type character whenever he loses. I don't know if anyone else gets that impression, but he's got a bit more miserable. And Guardiola's got a bit more catty as well. Like, I mean, I think he's always been a bit that, but anyway. Guardiola said... after the 5-0 win against Newcastle, that he basically took the piss out of... firstly, he took the piss out of Liverpool's lack of Premier League wins in 30 years, which is quite funny, the way he delivered it. I don't think he meant to say it in a shithousery way, but he did. But then he also said, everyone supports Liverpool, everyone wants Liverpool to win the title instead of us, and the media as well included. Jurgen Klopp... got a bit whingy after Tottenham took a point off them at Anfield, which could end up costing them the title. Who knows? Basically talking about that, you know, I don't like that sort of football. You know, it's just a bit, you know, but he was moody, but he was just saying, just whinging about defensive football and Tottenham park the bus and all this sort of stuff. which just isn't the case.
They were fantastic. They didn't even create a chance.
Who's Ash, I know your answer to this, given you're a Spurs fan. Whose comments, Dave, do you disagree with more? Who's more out of line there? Because they've both been a bit catty and a bit childish, a bit sort of prima donna. But like, who's were you like, nah, that's the most out of order?
I don't know, probably Pep's, but his is quite ambiguous. It's weird. It's almost a compliment if everyone hates you, because you're seen as the best. The best team is generally hated by most people. So it's almost a compliment. Look at United when they used to dominate under Fergie. Everyone hated them.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted everyone else to win. So I don't know, Pep's, it was just a bit salty.
It was extremely salty.
Klopp's again, was just a bit meh. But I think it's Pep's one. I think I was a bit really surprised at. I think ultimately Pep needs to understand that City were so far ahead, a lot, 12 points ahead at one point. Now it's obviously down to three. This is a case of everyone loves an underdog. So they see Liverpool, even though they're both equally as good as each other, the fact that Liverpool have somehow managed to bring it back, people want to see, if it is true, people want to see that. But ultimately, people obviously want to see the quadruple as well.
I think, yeah, two good points there, yeah. I think the quadruple, whether people want it to happen or not, it's just something to root for.
It's so rare that you think, oh my word, it actually could happen.
But yeah, I think that comes into the fact that City have won, if they win this title, that would be their fourth in 5 years.
Yeah.
And you just kind of want to see somebody new. But do people want Liverpool to win the title? Like I'd suggest that more people hate Liverpool than City. City, who hates City? No one hates City.
No one cares about City.
No one cares about City particularly. No offense, but like Man United don't like you, but they would rather you win the league than Liverpool. And then after that, like who else? I just thought that look, Guardiola was just being a bit of a whinge bag. But I just thought like, I mean, like, it doesn't seem that way when you talk to people. As much as I agree with you, Dave, people are intrigued by the quadruple.
Yeah.
People are sort of a bit tired of the same team winning the league every year. But at the end of the day, Liverpool are Liverpool, and lots of people don't like them.
I also think it was a bit of a rally cry for City as well, saying everyone loves them. It's sort of an us against them mentality.
Yeah, and that's Mourinho and Fergie sort of vibe, isn't it? And they summoned that quite a lot. You're probably right as well. Yeah, and they need it, don't they? Because they've got nothing. You know, this is the last thing they have to play for. So,
I also think it's a maybe subtle. Everyone loves Klopp and not me.
Yeah, insecurity.
I think it's because I think a lot of the time. Teams, obviously, you support teams for various reasons, but the manager tends to be the face of the team. And Klopp, in general, is seen as a more sociable, gregarious, down-to-earth guy, while Pep's this sort of genius, savant, a bit more detached sort of thing. So I think this is so multifaceted. It's not just saying that one thing, and that's what makes it such an interesting comment to pack and analyse.
Yeah, they've not got a heated hatred of each other, but there's definitely a big rivalry that's kind of simmering under the surface. And
it's like Fergie and Wenger. It's like, this is my biggest competitor. You're talking about obviously Klopp's record against Pep in the Premier League. He's starting to get under his skin a bit, and the fact that he was like, I think it was Klopp was saying that, oh, the fact that Liverpool got through to the Champions League final and we didn't, it's just competitors, elite performers, just taking days with each other. That's what makes it so fascinating.
I wonder if you could imagine Guardiola, because as you say, Guardiola doesn't strike you as the person who needs everybody to love him. But then again, you're right. There's a lot of people don't like Klopp, but there's a lot of people who go like, oh, I'd go for a beer with Klopp. No one's particularly said about Guardiola. It would be a bit weird. I would love to for a
I don't think Pep would have a beer. Pep would more be like, do you want a red?
I have a tonic water.
Cabernet Sauvignon?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, no, what a Guinness.
Yeah.
You'd be in like in a party, Klopp would be there just taking part in all the games in the middle. And Guardiola would be there sort of
on the side,
back against the wall.
Telling people the best way to play beer pong.
Best strategy,
You'd be like, no, what you need to do, you see the table. Yeah.
Take the ball past the ball. We cannot replace him. But yeah,
it
might come. You know, there's lots of not to get all flipping deep on us here, but lots of these sorts of things do come down to kind of primal stuff, like just wanting to be the bigger man and all that sort of thing. And I do, as I said to you before, with his kind of you know, aside from all of Pep Guardiola's dominance over the years, like there aren't many managers he hadn't got the better of, and Klopp is one of them. So, you know, he would definitely have reason to be sort of insecure. I would love to see perhaps they won't. Klopp's staying at Liverpool for a while, and Guardiola may do the same at City. But and who knows how long their sort of ability at the top will remain. But I'd love to put them as a litmus test. Just put them in like another league. Put them in Spain together, and see how they go again. You know,
what if they became the managers of their national country?
Oh yeah, that would. Ooh.
Yeah. And in the Euro World Cup.
Fine. Yeah, World Cup final.
Taking on an international stage.
But all right, moving on. I just thought I wanted to know, given the kind of difference of opinion that seems to be everywhere around when you talk to fans, if you had to pick a right back for you to have in your team now and for the next 10 years between Trent Alexander-Arnold, Reece James and João Cancelo. I know Jao Cancelo is a bit older, so it might not work 10 years' time, but you get the point of the hypothetical. Which would you take and why? Because they're probably, there's other good fullbacks around, but they're probably the three that are kind of, certainly going forward, are seen as the most sort of exciting fullbacks around, unless there's, at least the big ones. So, yeah, I'm just interested to know who would pick, because they're all kind of different. They've all got very different vibes, but they're all very good.
I would instantly go for Reece James.
Why?
10 times out of 10. I think he's fantastic going forward.
Well, all around it.
He's very, very good coming back. Mm. He can play right back. He can play right wing back. He can play right centre back. You can stick him in midfield and do a job. I think the versatility is fantastic to have.
Mm.
And you're not even, it's not one of them where, yeah, you can do it in a few different positions. He's like a 6 out of 10 in every position you put him in. He's really good wherever you put him, pretty much.
Mm.
I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is better going forward.
Yeah.
I think no one can really deny that. But it's just that well-roundedness. I don't think there's enough of a difference in the attacking output to kind of sway me one way or the other.
Because I was expecting you to go with Trent because I know that you're a massive fan.
Yeah,
but okay. So I was just going to say how close did Cancelo come to the?
Not really.
Not at all. I was just going to say to you, Haz, how good is Reece James defensively? Because I've obviously, as an Arsenal fan, I don't see much of him because he seems like someone who's. Like a Kyle Walker relies on his strength and pace to compensate.
Don't put him in the same bracket as that.
Not to that extent. I'm sure.
How dare you put him in that Walker bracket?
Bro would like that, but yeah, how good is he? Actually
he's a good defender. I mean, he's got a level or two to go up. I've never once looked at a performance of his and gone, blimey, he was in trouble, or anything like that. But yeah, he's not quite, He's not sort of, Virgil van Dijk kind of reliable in terms of all that. And I'm not putting them in the same bracket. But whenever in Azpilicueta in his prime, I would always feel like I have faith in his defending. I wouldn't say I feel that necessarily about him, but he's not. At no point am I worried about his defending. He doesn't use his. I know what you were trying to say, but he doesn't use his speed as like a get out of jail card like Kyle Walker does, but it does help. But his attacking game has come on a hell of, or rather his sort of technical game has come on a hell of a lot, so that kind of outweighs him going back. But as I say, I never feel like, oh, we can't use him because we're up against good opposition or anything. I think he had a bit of a difficult time against Vinicius Junior, but then again, he's one of the fastest, best wingers around at the moment. So I don't know.
He wasn't bad against Vinicius.
No.
He held up quite well.
Yeah, and he's 20. He's 21, so he will improve that side of it. And there's even talk that Tuchel wants to move him to right centre back, as Ash said. So. He might start, which I'm not sure about, but
yeah, but it's Tuchel's centre backs go far up the pitch, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they kind of underlap, getting that an agent of chaos.
But he's added goals this year, and he looks really like, you know, he's got a hell of a strike on him and stuff. So I'd worry that you'd sort of lose that slightly, given especially with the inverted fullback system he was playing at the start of the year. But look, yeah, as you say, they're certainly not going to take any attacking impetus out of the right centre back, because they do bomb forward and get crosses in and stuff. So. And yeah, the versatility is strong, but yeah, I mean, Dave, what as a neutral party in all of this, what are you fearing towards?
So, because I think knee jerk reaction would be Trent, just how exponentially good he is going forward. I mean, his attacking prowess, his technical abilities is phenomenal for a fullback. But then I think my Joao Cancelo as well, I think he's technically good. I think he's, I don't know, maybe the most intelligent, I would say, not three, but I don't think he's to that level. He's a very competent fullback, obviously really good going forward, technically good and gifted. Defensively, I'm still not too sure about him. I don't know, Rome might have to say something about that, but he's obviously not as good going forward as he is defensively. Reece James, agree with Ash. I think he's definitely he's just so well-rounded. I think I would go with Reece James as well, but I think my logic is, if you were to take them out of the teams that they're currently in, so i.e. the three best teams in the league, and you were to put them in a Southampton or a lesser team, how well would they do? I think because of that, it'll probably be Reece James.
That's it. Yeah. I was going to say, I like that thing. I'd not thought of that thinking, and I agree with you, yeah. And I think the one who would struggle most is Trent.
It's Trent, yeah.
Very wedded to the system.
But as you say, I mean, possibly offers you more than the other two in that system. But again, it's, you know.
Yeah.
As you say, yeah, very, very wedded. Ro, what about you? We've not really talked about Cancelo. What's the City perspective? Is there a kind of he's the best fullback in the league kind of vibe? Or are you guys more keen on Walker, or what's the crack?
No, I think in the last couple of seasons he's really come on. When we first caught him, he kind of took a season to get used to things, and really deliver on the potential that, you know, we saw little glimpses of in his first season, and he's just been a lot more consistent with it. Like I say, I think maybe he's more intelligent than the other two, but that might be. I don't know the age difference between them, but I think maybe that might come with a couple more years experience, and the fact that, you know, Cancelo's played in another league as well, like another league other than England. So, like I said, he's versatile, because he can play either left back or right back. He's pretty quick. Like, I think from set pieces, obviously corners, he's, you know, fantastic. He's good at getting driving forward with the ball. Defensively, you know, quite similar, I think, with Walker. There's been times in which they've been caught out, and either the man who's covering tends to, you know, mop up after them, or, you know, he is quick enough to get back and, you know, put a bit of pressure on the attacking threat. But like I said, I feel like this season is really gained a lot more appreciation that he deserves.
He was in amazing form at the start. I mean, he's still in good form, but he was really good form at the start of the year and start of the season.
Yeah, I think just in general, he's had quite a lot of, you know, appreciation from the Manchester City fan base, but I feel like he's got a lot more appreciation from others around England as well. Like, noticing like how good he actually is, and, you know, us three are talking about the fact that, you know, it can be a contender towards Reece James and Trent. So, but I think Egby pretty much said it the best, in the fact that if you were to put them all into, like, let's say a Southampton team, I feel like Reece James would be the one. I mean, technically, you could have both. You could have Reece James right, Cancelo left.
You could have Erling Haaland in there as well if you wanted.
Yeah, you know, throw them all in there.
You can have Trent on the right wing back. Reece James the right centre back, and then Cancelo on the left.
Yeah.
best of all worlds.
And then all you need is Xhaka. Put him in the back.
But so who would your
I think pick, like Seth, I think everything that's been said so far about Reece James, I'm in agreement with. Mm. And yeah, I think there's a lot more to come from him, and I feel like he's more of a all-rounder player that nationally as well, I feel like he offers more.
Mm. Yeah, it's mad he's not really got a thing for England yet. Because
no, but I feel like
that's the only thing with Reece James is where is he going to, what is his actual position? Because he's so versatile. Where
yeah.
can you play him?
But I feel like that's a good player to have, especially in a tournament position.
Yeah.
In a tournament situation, not a tournament position, sorry. That first versatility depending on either injuries or, you know, tactic reshapes or, you know. I mean, obviously you could kind of have that with Trent, you know, going forward, I suppose, but then obviously then, I don't know. I feel like he's a better suited.
Yeah, I don't think you have enough cover defensively. Because, I mean, if you're in a knockout tournament, like with your national team, one goal does it for you, kind of thing. Mm. So I'd recommend you get a clean sheet over and just keep your defence tight more than be adventurous going forward in that kind of situation. So that's why I definitely every single time bring on.
Yeah.
Do you think Trent can improve defensively, and do you think he will?
I think he has. He has this season.
Yeah, I think he has as well.
He's been pretty solid with it this season, but it's one of them, isn't it, where the gulf between the attacking isn't enough for me to like favour Trent all because of the gulf in like defensive growth areas.
Do you think he can close the gap though, or do you think it'll always be he's
quite as big? Because I mean, is Reece James just going to stay the same and get worse? He's also
going to improve. Plus, it depends on what Trent actually wants, because a lot of the time you see the media asking Klopp, are you not going to press Trent, you know, to push forward? And it seems to be the media influence.
Oh, everyone wants him to win a midfield.
Yeah. It's like, well, he's doing perfectly fine there. You know, if you've got a winning formula, don't change it. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that people just... Yeah, we've got Chelsea fans at the moment that want Marcus Alonso to play up front because he's got a good shot.
Does, to be fair.
I mean like, when you've got Lukaku and Werner, they're not firing.
Why?
I should have kept Tammy Abraham.
Tammy.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to see him do well, but it's so funny to see like people going, oh, how could we be so stupid? Like, you know,
well,
like,
tomorrow
we spend
as well.
100 million on Tammy. Yeah. It's like,
have you got a buyback clause?
We have. I don't think it comes into play until next season. But
2 years to develop.
Yeah,
and buy him back for cheaper than what he would be worth.
He could score. he could score that amount of goals, you know, continuously. But until he develops as a, you know, he's not exceeded. I think he's
developing as like a Harry Kane type. I think
he's not. I mean, I know you weren't directly comparing it, but he's. He drops in, but I said this before he left Chelsea. I said he surprised me that I realized he was more technical than people give him credit for. But he's still not. I mean, I guess he could improve it, but he's not really a sort of all encompassing striker as such.
Mm.
And I don't see it really.
Mm.
But then again, Lukaku at his age probably actually look more raw, so it's tough to know.
Maybe if Tammy Abraham works very hard, he too can score a pointless brace against Wolves.
Exactly, one day and achieve his dream. But okay, well, that's interesting. I don't think if we'd have done the right back question before the start of the year, I would not have expected us all to go Reece James. I wasn't even sure. I was kind of inching towards Cancelo.
He's just been very good, but very solid.
Yeah, what you said, Dave, has actually kind of swayed me. And like the fact that, as you say, you feel like he could grow into something even more. Yeah. And he's an absolute tank.
Yeah, exactly. It's frightening.
Flipping. And what I really like about him actually is he's very composed. He's not a panicker. Like he's sort of I don't think big games fluster him. He doesn't look like he makes rash decisions. He's just very sort of like, you know, sort of, like, he looks like he's kind of high.
He's calm, but he's not complacent.
All right, all this talk will still start Kieran Trippier in the World Cup final.
And he will cross Luke Shaw again. Oh, dear. Yeah. Nice. Big ups for Reese boy.
Reese James, what a player. Thank you very much again for joining us. Feel free to let us know which right back, or fullback rather, that you'd pick. Feel free to let us know on Twitter, also on Instagram. Both handles are at End of the Box Pod. Feel free to get in touch, and we'll see you again next week. Bye bye.